You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in ministry to compete, you are in ministry to war. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a bold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do this well. In the name of Jesus.
Let's bless God. Let's give him praise for this morning. Bless his holy name for a wonderful Sunday morning. Thank him. Bless him for his mercies that endureth forever. Thank him for his grace, for his power. Go ahead, lift your voice and give God praise. Give God praise. Bless him. Bless his holy name. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Man de kashala bakem brekina makate brekefiti akashiti. Zinda brakaranda meke brumbo kofleki drakashante broko fredikati. Zumbro kovredi makande roko shende brumbo kuna makate. Zingle kumbreboko marakate kebreboko rekene makrono mukobroko botika. Bless the name of the Lord. Give him praise this morning. Exalt him. Magnify him. Give him thanksgiving. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Can you increase the keyboard? Bless his name. Bless him. He's worthy of all thanksgiving. We bless you, Jesus. Oh, what a joy to be in your presence this morning, Ancient of Days. What a joy. What a joy. What a joy. We bless you. We give you praise for this beautiful Sunday morning. We thank you. Thank you for your children that you have gathered unto yourself. Thank you for your great, your grace. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your loving kindness. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Mante kala bakende. Ine brembe kerumo bombo koti kabala dia takara de beketia. Oh, bless you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man de brumbo kore ke brumbo kore koshente. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Lante kobrembe kende barakashate. Oh, we give you praise, Jesus. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Can you increase the keyboard? We give you praise. We bless you. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. And worship his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. And worship his holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God bless you. A faithful. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Hallelujah. So this morning, the Lord led me to go back to the basics. All right, go back to the basics of our Christian walk with God. This morning, we're going back to the basics. Amen. So I'll be teaching about on the subject that says, our redemption story. Our redemption story. Alright, so going back to the basics. Alright, let me quickly say this, that the call of God upon my life is to go forth and raise end time armies, right? There is a difference between a soldier and a civilian. The soldiers are those who take active role in the defense of the system. At least they call to go and raise ministers. So I will be teaching with that anointing, such that those who have a call to ministry and those who are yet to even perceive the call will be able to get clarity. It's going to be coming with so much simplicity, practical things. I don't like the idea of complicating what ought to be simple, all right? So it's going to be coming with so much clarity and simplicity, such that you can live here and then understand fully well. And, you know, sometimes the things you think you understand, now you see them in a clearer perspective and you understand them fully well, and then you can now go back and walk in that light. Glory to God. All right. I said glory to God. Say that hallelujah loud and clear.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm always excited when it's time to go to church. I've been praying very soon, very, very soon, that we will have to be back to our churches. In fact, that God can help us, that this will be the last Sunday online, Facebook, and the likes. We want to go back to church. Lose us and let us go. I don't know if truly I believe in the coronavirus in Nigeria. I'm not saying don't believe. Sometimes it looks like life scores of football. So, but it's my opinion. It might be true, but it will not be true in your life in Jesus' name. So, well, let us believe, and let's also trust that very soon we'll have to be out of and then focus more on our churches and do the things that God will have us do. There's a young lady listening to me. You came under a pressure that started since 3 years ago. All right, you've been trusting God for something. Particularly let me break it down so you can understand that I know what I'm saying. The marital aspect of your life. But for 3 years now, you've been under serious pressure, uniquely. 3 years. That is, this is 2020. So 2017, 2018, no, 2018, 2019, 2020. All right, the pressure started when you met Lekan. And I'm seeing that now. And you just wanted it to end in marriage, by all means. But somehow it did not. And you have not yet submitted in the hands of God to let Him give you a strategy. And the pressure has been so strong. And it looks like, why has God been delaying you? It's not God. When you yield, things will change. The reason why God reveals is that He reveals to redeem. God doesn't reveal to shame. He reveals to redeem. Amen. God will strengthen your heart. The Bible says that they that prophesy to the church, prophesy for edification, for comfort, and for strengthening. So this is for strengthening. To strengthen you by letting you know that God is aware of your case, is very much interested in you, and then you are not abandoned. Sometimes the will of God is just around the corner. But under pressure, it will look difficult to see. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to teach, but once God gives me His word, I just share with the people. So there's a young man also watching me. There's a pressure upon you to start a business. You're very much interested. Say it will cost you 35,000 naira. But it is not a legal one. But you feel it is not too legal. But I'm saying it is not legal. But the pressure is there. Because you need money for many things. Hold on. Help is on the way. Just hold on. Just hold on. Don't do it. We've not spoken before. I don't even know the one that God is speaking about. But don't do it. Amen. All right. So the word redemption, let's break it down. What is the meaning of the word redemption? What does it mean? The word redemption, what does it mean? All right. To redeem is to get back what was once lost. To redeem is to get back what was once lost. So there will be no need for redemption as far as humanity is concerned if humanity was not once lost. So the word redemption is first and foremost an indication that something is lost. So if we are going to trace back our redemption story, it means we are tracing back the story of how God brought back what was lost. There are many parables in the Bible that try to illustrate what our redemption story looked like. One of the parables was the parable of the lost sheep. Right? That the master can leave 99 and chase after one that was lost. The word 99 there could describe all of God's creature. And then chase after one man. God will leave angels, leave turtles, and leave all those things, billions of species, and go after just one species. Because just one was made in his image. God made his angel's spirit and his minister's flame of fire. But there was no time in the Bible that angels were regarded to be made in the image and in the likeness of God. All right, that right or that privilege was accorded to man. Genesis 1 verse 26. So God said, come, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, all right, the fowl of the air, and then the beast of the field. So man was made in God's image. That's the beautiful thing. Like I said, there will be no redemption if man was not once lost. So what we want to look at is, how did we miss it? One, we're not going to be leaving any stone unturned. Where did we miss it? Two, what were the consequences of missing it? Three, I've often heard people say that man sinned, man couldn't pay. Why couldn't man pay? Four. Five. Why was it Jesus alone that was qualified to pay? Six. How was he qualified to pay? Seven. What was the price he paid? Eight. The effect of the price he paid. Nine. Is it possible for anyone to still be lost, despite the fact that the price has been paid? 10. Are you redeemed? So, we are seeing in Romans chapter number 3. I'll start the reading from verse 10. Romans chapter number 3 from verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and with their tongue they've caused deceit. The poison of harps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the Lord said. Okay, I stopped. Sorry about that. Verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25. Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Let me read verse 24 again. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So, this scripture is basically telling us that there is no redemption anywhere else but in Christ. And there is a reason for that. So, as a Christian, you cannot say that Christianity is the way, is a way, just as Islam is a way, and then so on and so forth. You say things like, there are many ways to God, and then Christianity is just one of the ways. It's a lie of the devil. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Being justified by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now let's also go back to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. From verse 1. Therefore, Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Alright? Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. A sinner does not have peace with God. And if you don't have peace with God, you don't have the peace of God. So, but we are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let this be the basic reality. You cannot divorce redemption from Jesus. So, let me show you another scripture as we now begin to trace where we missed it. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 verse 5. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Alright? So, Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and men. Meaning that if we had said that there is no redemption except that we were once lost, we are saying that the middleman that brought us back is Jesus. That's what the Bible is saying here. Are you seeing that? So the question is, how did we miss it? I'm going to be throwing away some meat, some probably erroneous beliefs as touching the journey of redemption. Like I said, it's going to be very much clearer for better understanding. Because an average Christian cannot trace our redemption story. Why? We are throwing away certain ordinances, believers' class. Those who are just coming in, they cannot just immediately go and start learning those deep things. Foundation has to be laid. 1 Timothy 3 verse 10, Paul said, I as a wise master builder have laid well the foundation. We must be careful to lay foundation for believers. Redemption, all right, salvation, Holy Ghost baptism. These are very powerful, formidable foundations that should be laid, Christian doctrines. Very important. Let them start from this foundation then they can now go on to maturity. So Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26, God does the account. Genesis chapter number 1 is the account of God's creation. Alright, Genesis 1 is the account of God's creation. When God was saying, let there be this, let there be that. Genesis 2 is the account of how God created. Genesis 1 verse 26, God said, come, let us make man our own image. Genesis 2 verse 6, God saw that, alright, he couldn't let rain come upon the earth, for there was no man to till the ground. And then God went on to make man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2 shows the account of how God created. Genesis 3 showed the account of how what God did was hijacked. So in Genesis 3, the Bible introduced the person of the serpent by saying he was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. And then he came to the woman and said, as God said, thou should not eat of any tree of the garden. Of course, God couldn't say they should not eat of any tree of the garden. But the woman, in her attempt to defend God, said, well, he has said we should eat of any tree of the garden, but of the tree of life, which is in the middle of the garden, he has said we should not eat, neither should we touch. And the serpent said to the woman that, listen, God knows that the days that you eat these things, you become wise like him, knowing good and evil. The Bible said the woman saw that the tree was good for food, such that one could desire to make one wise. And then she took of the tree and then ate of it, and then also kept for her husband. All right? When Adam came, he ate of that same tree. And the moment they ate, they discovered. Verse 7. All right, the moment they ate, the Bible says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All right, so fig leaves is what man sows in his own human mentality with the attempt to cover his spiritual nakedness. Fig leaves can never take care of what you have done wrongly. Fig leaves are religious approach, an attempt to cover up your nakedness. All right, well, we have fig leaves that we still sow in generations. Things that we do in the flesh with the hope or the thought that it will cover up our spiritual nakedness. They are nothing but fig leaves. Christ alone is the true covering. Alright, so they sift for themselves fig leaves. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of God in the of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God, Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? The question, where art thou, is a question, Adam, where are you in my plan? The all-seeing God could not have been looking for them physically. God was not asking about their location. God was asking about their checking out from the plan. Where are you now? Because there are many people who are still preaching. But the question of God really is, where are you? Where have you gone to? And Adam said in verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I command thee, that thou shouldest not eat? Alright, and then, alright, so the man said, let me just say this. The question, who told you that you are naked, means that sin does not stop. Alright, the goal of the devil is not just going to stop at the point that you sin. The goal is that you will sin, and then it will give you extra information. The extra information is that you are now naked. You are not qualified to stand before God. It is called the voice of condemnation. Listen, the goal of sin is to usher in condemnation. Condemnation is what tells you that you are no longer qualified for what God wants to do with your life. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 1, that there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So when the devil went ahead to tell them they were naked, it was a voice of condemnation. Why will he have to pass that information? So that, all right, they will feel no longer worthy to stand before God and behold his glory face to face. All right, so they heard of it. But God came and gave them the consequence of what they had done. the consequence of what they have done. Like I said, we are tracing our redemption story. Even if I'm not able to finish today, we'll just take it as a journey together. You get what I'm saying? But just follow me closely and stay online. All right, so in verse 12, the man blamed the woman. In verse 13, the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. All right. Turn the ventilator to those things. All right. Amen. So, they heard, they saw that they were naked. God came and said, who told you? Said the serpent did. And God said to the serpent in verse 14, because you have done this, upon your belly, because thou hast done this, thou hast caused above all cattle and above all field of all beasts of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life. All right? That's what God told the serpent. Upon your belly shall you go, and the dust shall you eat all the days of your life. All right? So, there are many people that believe that the serpent used to have legs. That since the day that God caused the serpent, the legs shrank. Looks like a fantastic school of thought, but God wasn't talking about anatomy here. Because he was not talking about snakes. He was talking about Leviathan, the serpent. So if God says, upon your belly shall you go crawl all the days of your life, what does that mean? What does that mean? All right, if God says, upon your belly shall you go all the days of your life, what does that mean? It's a very serious issue. And when God says that, because if you believe that the serpent leg was shrunk from that moment onward, then you should also believe necessarily that snakes don't eat any other animal. Snakes eat dust. But snakes don't eat dust. So what does that mean? It means, do you want to hear? It means you will not be able to repent. Let me explain. It means you will not be able to repent. In what sense? It is everyone's desire to fill their belly. That desire will motivate you throughout your life. What do you fill your belly with? The dust of the earth. And God also gave the serpent a clue. Adam, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. It means a natural man that is not in Christ will be the food of the devil. The man that is not in Christ is not a mere speck of dust. The man that is in Christ is not a mere speck of dust. But the man that is not in Christ is. The devil cannot repent. Because his singular desire will be to always fill his appetite. He will go all the days of his life with that singular desire. And then in verse 15, God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. That's not a curse to me. That doesn't sound like a curse. That sounds like a blessing. That I will make sure that you and the woman will not be able to cooperate and become a team. Not her, not her seed. That's a blessing. It is important that there is enmity between you. If not, man is irredeemable. Imagine if there was friendship. By now, we all would have become demonic, will be cooperating with the agenda of the devil. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise. It is ill. Meaning that you will not be able to cooperate. There's always going to be consistent confrontation. That to me doesn't sound like a curse. It sounds like a blessing. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. All right? In sorrow, this is the sorrow that God said will multiply. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be towards thy husband, and he shall rule over you. So there are two things here. The sorrow that God says it will greatly multiply is the sorrow, the pain of conception. The pain of conception. All right. Amen. Sorry about the pausing. If it does that again, we'll have to quickly amend something. Please follow me closely. Like I said, it's a story. We're trying to make sure we understand the story well. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be towards thy husband. So, there was the pain of conception came as a result of the consequence of the fall. There are implications to this that I would rather put them in other messages for the sake of volatility of Facebook, the free-to-air nature. I would rather want to, because it has a more deeper meaning. And I don't want to be misunderstood. So, but just follow me. But God also said, I'll make sure your desire is towards your husband. So you can see the woman in two ways here. All right, there are, in fact, you can see each of the entities in three ways. For instance, you can see the serpent as the normal snake. You can see the serpent as demonic presence spirit, I will explain. You can also see the serpent as the devil, the masterminder of all evil things. You can see the woman as Eve. You can see the woman also as the body of Christ. It depends on the way you want to see it. You can see the woman as the mother of creation. You can see the seed of the woman as the child. You can see the seed of the woman as Christ Jesus. You can also see the seed of the woman as other kind of seed after the order of Christ Jesus. Which category will fall into? Because if we don't fall to that category, God will never say to us that we will step upon snakes and scorpions, and it shall in no way harm us. So we fit into this category also. And to each of those categories, we can also look at the in-depth meaning. I'm sorry if this is sounding too deep, but it's not. Just follow me. Listen and listen again. So if God is saying your desire will be towards your husband, and I'm putting enmity between you and the one that brought sin to the world, he's saying that you will love the husband of the church, Christ. In another term, he's also saying that rulership is a sign of a curse. Rulership is not a blessing. That is, in a family where the man rules over the woman, it's a cursed situation, not a blessing. Are you following that? But let me try and come in a very simple way. So God is saying that you'll not be able to follow after the devil. Your desire will be towards your husband. If you are following me and you understand it, let me know. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of their wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Cursed is the ground for your sake. You looked at the serpent. You spoke to the serpent. You looked at man. At Eve. You spoke to her. You looked at the man. You spoke to something else on his behalf. Why? Already, Adam was carrying the seed of the whole world in his loins. And that seed has been corrupted through sin. If God ever places a curse on Adam, then he has placed a curse on all of us. So God had to employ the law of substitution. He looked at Adam and had to curse the ground for his sake. Every other thing that came was as a result of the ground being cursed for his sake. For instance, he said, in sorrow shalt thou eat, because the ground is cursed. Thorns and thistles will he bring forth, because the ground is cursed. When Adam sinned, we all were in his loins. When he fell, we all fell together. So God in his wisdom made sure that the source, which is man, the seed carrying specie, the woman is the seed fertilizing specie, but this is the seed carrying specie. God in his mercy made sure, alright, that the man was not cursed, so that all the seeds too will not be cursed. God cursed the ground for the sake of man, but man had already fallen. He had fallen out of God's plans, he had fallen out of God's purpose, he had fallen out of a very serious height. And God had to do all these things out of his mercies. He said in verse 19, he said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for the dust thou art, and the dust thou shalt return. Meaning that any man like Adam is a food for the devil. Because God also said to the serpent, that the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. If God says to the dust thou art, he's saying, listen, you are the food of the serpent. That's why a natural man can die anyhow. That's why a natural man can be killed anyhow. That's why a natural man can just face any disaster, because he's in the hands of the devil. And that's why you must not be natural. There are people that are not natural. They are spiritual men. They can't die anyhow, because these ones are not food for the serpent. Don't be natural. Don't, in all you're doing, don't be ordinary. Are you seeing that? Adam, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And then, but God already said something to the woman. Said, I'm putting enmity between you and the serpent, between your seed and her seed. You will bruise the heel of the woman, and the seed will bruise your head. Meaning that redemption is coming. And in the days that redemption will come, it will be from the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman will come back and bruise your head, O serpent. To bruise the head of a thing means to totally annihilate the thing, to kill it. Because when you eat the head, the body will fall. So the serpent head. So something is going to happen someday. A seed is going to come from the woman that will bruise my head, the serpent head. But the serpent did not know the seed, because women don't give seed. They are not seed producing. They are not seed producing. It means before the fall, God already factored out a way out. Women are not seed producing. So the serpent was confused. What does this mean? Ah, this is what it must mean. That's the devil thinking there. So it means that anyone that comes from the woman, anyone at all that looks godly coming from the woman, that must be the seed. Kill them. So Cain came. The devil was not, it was not a threat to the devil. It was not a threat. Abel came. Then the devil saw that they both went to give sacrifice, and God accepted that of Abel. This must be the seed. Hey, the devil moved immediately to Cain and said, kill him. So we also saw that the method of killing seeds is by using a seed to kill another seed. Because the devil did not come down to kill Abel. He used a seed to kill another seed. Meaning that from time immemorial it has been that the moment somebody is a threat to the devil, he will use somebody else who also is his son to bring the person down. The battle is a battle of seeds against seeds. Are you seeing that? So Cain picked a smooth stone and smote his brother on the head. Ha! And Cain was happy. And God came and had to ask the same question that he asked Adam, where are thou? God was asking the same question, Cain, where is your brother? Are you see? Because if Abel had died, Abel had gone to appear before him. So it was not because Abel was missing. God was asking a question of accountability. Where is your brother? But listen, the death of Abel was more than just a death. It was also a law. The devil also made sure that the first blood that touched the earth was the blood of injustice. The first person that died in all of God's creation was killed unjustly. This calls for prayers. The earth has long been familiar with injustice. Anyone who is a threat to the devil, see that the same people are promising, all of a sudden they die. It is injustice. Because from that day onward, a blood has been crying. And that blood is the blood of Abel. That blood has been crying. The devil was making sure that man was shooting himself in the leg. And the blood of Abel kept crying. Kept crying. For justice. Took thousands of years before a blood could now speak better things than the blood of Abel. But before that blood spoke, the blood of Abel has been crying just one thing: avenge me. Huh? The devil saw that, that seed is not Abel. He moved on. In that same Genesis, we saw another seed. The name of this seed is Esau. The devil saw that despite the fact that God has spoken before they were born, that the elder will serve the younger, he saw that the father, Isaac, had even concluded to still give Esau the blessing. Ah, the devil said this one must be special. The devil moved through Esau and said, sell the birthright. We saw another way of fighting seed. Using the first way, using another seed to fight a seed. The second way, using the seed to fight himself. Using the seed to fight himself. Using the seed to fight himself. If God be for you, who can be against you? Just you. So Cain, Abel sold the birthright and he missed it. Jacob carried the blessing. The devil said, hey, this Jacob, aha,
So this guy must be special. Look at the way blessings came. Look at the way blessings came. Ah, I said, all right. I'm going to, if I can't get you, Jacob, I will get your children. And he moved. The one that was the beginning of his strength, the excellency of dignity, he moved against him and said, curse him. And he cursed him. And all his children started dying young. The name of that guy was Reuben. He made sure he destroyed the family. They were selling themselves into slavery. They were doing many things. He moved against that family of the seed. But God preserved it. Before we even have the case of Jacob, we had the case of Abraham. In the case of Abraham, he was so close to God, the devil said, I can't destroy this seed. Though. He was too close to God. The devil couldn't destroy the seed. So what the devil did was to make sure, come and sow part of this seed on the wrong soil. So he came to Sarah and said, sow this seed on the wrong soil. So Abraham sowed that seed in a girl called Hagar, the Egyptian slave. Hagar gave birth to somebody called Ishmael. And that's the generation of those that started Islam. Sowed the seed on the wrong soil. Moved again to another generation. The devil said, it appears the way to keep killing this seed is to kill them before they even know their seed. So, we saw in Exodus chapter number 1, a child was born at a time when there were so many decrees that children, the Hebrew male, should be killed. The decree went before the child was born. Why? The devil doesn't know the future, but he can always guess right. The child was born in that time. And the fate of the child was to be killed. So, the mother had to hide him. And a time came, she could no longer hide him. And she had to take him in a basket. And then took him to the bank of the river, Nile. Huh? And then told Miriam, the sister, to hide and be watching him. And the daughter of the one who made the decree came to bath. And when the daughter of the one who made the decree came to bath, saw the boy, she fell in love with that seed. And she loved him. And when she carried the seed, Miriam came up and said, hey. And then say, yeah, I've seen this handsome, good-looking boy. And Miriam said, I know one who is a good nurse that can take care of this seed. And the daughter of Pharaoh said, go and call the person. And God made sure that this seed was nurtured. The mother of Moses was even paid to nurture Moses. But God saw that this seed needs a kind of education. God brought the seed to the house of the enemy. Right there in their camp. So the seed can grow fatter. God set a table before the seed in the presence of the enemies. And God anointed the head with oil. But so this seed can be preserved. God brought the biological mother to come and train the seed. In the process, she was telling Moses, I'm your mother. Not that woman there. You belong to the Hebrew children. I perceive that there must be a reason. There must be something about your life. The reason why God has kept you here. Moses, you are here, but you are not of them. Oh. The mother kept passing those values into him. Moses, listen to me. I perceive from the days you were born, it looks as though you are a proper child. There is something about your life. There is a reason why God brought you here. Moses, you are not an Egyptian. You are an Hebrew. It was so serious that when Moses saw the Hebrews dealing with the Egyptians and the Egyptians dealing with the Hebrews, Moses moved against them and killed the Egyptians. As a matter of fact, Moses said that the Bible said Moses thought they should have known that the time for their deliverance to come by his hand has come. But they didn't know. Meaning that the mother of Moses did not just tell him he's an Hebrew. The mother also went prophetic to tell him, listen, Moses, you are the one that God will use to set them free. Because at this point, God has not encountered Moses in the burning bush. Meaning that Moses knew, the mother told him, "You, I perceive," because mothers are very prophetic. "I perceive, Moses, that, listen, these people here, our people who have been in this bondage, I perceive that their deliverance will come by your hand." The mother moved from just telling him about his identity to telling him about his destiny. Meaning that your race will not stop just when you know your identity. You must know your destiny. And then, but the devil moved against that seed. The name of that seed was Moses. Sometimes, the reason why you face all the troubles you face is because you are a seed. If you are not a threat to the enemy, you won't face all those things. You try to get many things done that others were even doing wrongly, and they had their way. But you will just not have your ways because you are a seed. And God would not want to jeopardize what you stand for. You are a seed. You look at your life and say, "Why me? Why are the troubles this much? Why are the troubles this much? Why do I have to go through all these things? Why do I have to be the one that will face all these things? Why is it that none amongst my mother's children went through the things I'm going through?" Well, the devil does not attack anything that is not a threat to him. It's because you are a seed. So Moses got to know that there's something about his life. I'd just love to chip in one thing for the sake of leadership. The same Miriam that was there when Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, that was the same Miriam that God was warning that now you think you are mature to rebuke Moses. Who amongst you is a prophet? Except that I speak to you by dreams. You are talking against a man I speak with face to face. You think it's a joke? The same Miriam that you are older than some people does not mean you are qualified to rebuke them. It's a destiny thing, not age thing. It's been about seeds. The devil doesn't know the seed. Let me give you the good news. When Jesus came, the same strategy the devil used with others was the same strategy used with Jesus. What was the strategy? Kill them, what they manifested. But the devil, the devil forgot that what God mentioned was seed, not human being. How do you kill human being? By killing them and burying them. If you do the same thing to a seed, you have just put the seed where God wants the seed. The same thing you did to Moses, you killed those ones. If you do the same thing to this one, you have just put this seed exactly where God wants this seed. So the Bible said, if the prince of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It means if they had known, they would not have done the same thing they did to the prophets, to Jesus. Amen. The worst mistake of the devil to you is that he's doing to you the same thing he did to others. That's the worst mistake of the devil. He's doing to you the same thing he did to others. If only he had known that that's the same thing you need for your own destiny to manifest. But he didn't know. So the Bible said, if the prince of this world had known, he would never have. How would you think burying a seed is destroying the seed? You have just put the seed in the habitat that God wants the seed. The same way you moved and killed Abel. If you move and kill Jesus that way, you have just fast-tracked redemption. Devil against you over there. You're bad, devil. Our only wise God. Our great King. Somebody says God doesn't lose a battle. Or sometimes God decides to lose a battle to win a war. I love that about God. When Saul was killing Stephen, God allowed Stephen to die so he can multiply the grace on Saul and say, you that you kill him, yeah, well, take it. You kill the champion on my side. You as the chief champion there. I'm bringing you to my side. The devil is fighting you. Relax. All you need is to check, on whose side am I? The devil will always shoot himself in the leg. Don't ever shiver because you are running from the devil. Let me tell you something. Don't forget we are tracing our redemption story, and I believe you have been blessed. The devil will think he is destroying you, but he's pushing you to greatness. He's pushing you to greatness. There are things the devil is doing against you that are the things that God will use to lift you. And God is doing it well. He delayed you, didn't get admission on time. He delayed you, you didn't get married on time. He delayed you, your parents didn't like you. He delayed you, this and this thing happened. Relax. He's just pushing you to a fast route to getting fulfillment. Amen. The devil is not as powerful as you think. He mostly plays into the hands of God. All that you need to know is, on whose side am I? That's all. I'm led to prophesy to the life of someone. The storm is coming to an end. That's the word of God for you. Amen. The storm is coming to an end. 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 Amen. In the name of Jesus. You will enjoy the goodness of God. Amen. All the things the devil thinks is doing against you to destroy you, they will lead to your promotion. Amen. You become stronger. Amen. You become wiser. Amen. You become better. Amen. The hand of God will help you. Amen. His mercy will protect you. Amen. I'm praying for you in the name that is above all names. You will not be tired of staying on the side of the Lord. Amen. All the things the enemy thinks is doing against you, they will lead you to your promotions. Amen. Your life will not be bitter. Amen. Somebody here, you have cried and cried and cried and asked, why is my life like this? Why am I not like the rest? The seed that will bruise the head of the serpent will not go through the normal process like other seeds. Relax. There's nothing the enemy can do against you but for you. Relax. Your journey may not be as smooth as you want it, but it is exactly what God wants it to be. People may look at you now, and they look at you and feel you are nothing. Don't forget, the Bible says that except a grain of wheat first fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. When you bury a seed, you are not just hiding the seed. You are putting the seed right where it needs to go to grow. People may look at the buried seed and say, we have always known you end up like this. But God will say, I've always known this is how you will start. What the enemy calls your hand is what God calls your starting point. They look at you and say, we've always known your life has no meaning. We've always known this. And God will say, I've always known this is how you will start. Relax, so. Nothing the enemy can do against you, but for you. Amen. I decree and declare over you, you will not jump out of God's process because you are tired.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. By the grace of God, by next week Sunday, I will continue from here. And I want to believe somebody has been blessed. I am Femi Lazarus, and I approve of this message. This is how I will round up all my messages from now onward. Amen.
Amen.
Get set. Something is changing.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. The pastors will project the account for the offering and tithe. You can give your offering. Give your tithe. Give because we are blessed. Amen. So by next week, we will continue from here. Journey of Redemption. Celebrate you. Thank you for joining with us today. Lead Pastors of Light Church. This is a family church. Always glad to have you around. We have our branches in Ife, three in Ife, one in Ibadan for now, one in Elisha. Starting in Lagos soon. Starting the second branch in Ibadan soon also.
Yes.
So get set. We'd love to have you with us anywhere we are. Thank you. So, see you next week. Do have a beautiful Sunday ahead.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.